غفور رحيم. وروي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: عجبا لأمر المؤمن، إن أمره كله له خير، وليس ذلك لأحد إلا للمؤمن. إن أصابته سراء شكر، وإن أصابته ضراء صبر. إن أصابته سراء شكر فكان خيرا له، وإن أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خير له، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. دروشي پڑھنے. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. May I check how many of you do not understand Urdu? Is anybody here who doesn't understand Urdu? Chalo, that makes life. Oh, subhanallah. May Allah bless you. You have a lot of patience. Congratulations. MashaAllah. May Allah Ta'ala reward our brother. He's been, mashallah, he shows a lot of value and a lot of concern for any majlis that is conducted and that is put together and that is organized in the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. He's a regular participant in our Durood Sharif majlis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you abundant reward. Jazakallahu khairan wa ahsan al-jaza. So today, I was asked to, the Seerah conference was organized, and Hazrat Mawlana Atiqur Rahman Sahib Hafizahullah, our mashwara was that I would say something in English and Mawlana Sahib would say something in Urdu, and Hazrat Mawlana Raghi Sahib will inshallah be invited as well to say a few words. And mashallah, these ulama, while they were talking, I was thinking to myself, may Allah reward our elders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them abundant reward. The ulama in Darul Uloom Karachi, where Hazrat Mawlana Atiqur Rahman Sahib studied, and the ulama in Sahiwal Jamia Rashidiyya, where Hazrat Mawlana Raghib Sahib, Mufti Sahib studied, and elsewhere as well, and at other institutions, they made an amazing effort. They've done a good job. Because at a time when nobody's interested in deen, hardly anybody's interested in deen, deen is not a priority for many. These ulama are able to bring up discourses that are relevant, and not just talk about superficial subjects. Mawlana Raghib Sahib, mashallah, very interesting subject. How can you gain proximity and how can you get closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment? Mashallah, beautiful subject. And Mawlana did highlight the great teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I was going to talk about some of that. And then Hazrat Mawlana Atiqur Rahman Sahib, mashallah, he talked about the endurance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hardship that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam endured. And very particularly, he said that despite him being the beloved of Allah, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى, your Lord shall soon grant you so much that you will become happy and content. Despite having received such honor, he was put through a difficulty and challenge after another challenge. Even when he passed away, he did not leave behind enough food to look after, which would be sufficient for the family that he was leaving behind. His own daughter Fatima radiallahu anha goes to him and says that, "Oh my father, look at what I have to go through daily. Everybody's got slaves and servants in Medina, but I have none. Today you've got some slaves. Today after the war, we have some slaves and you are distributing them amongst people in accordance to their need. My beloved father, look at my hands and look at what I have to go through with the children." Ali radiallahu anhu is always busy outside in jihad and in struggle and in other effort. "Do you mind if I humbly request you to help me and support me?" And Rasulullah says to her, "My dear daughter, I have needs of Ashabus Suffa. There are other deserving students in the masjid that need help. They are poor, they need to be looked after. And my mind is busy with their needs and looking after their needs and taking care of them. I cannot give you priority over their needs. I'll give you something else. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Recite this before going to bed and you'll wake up fresh." Subhanallah. Ali radiallahu anhu goes and he says, "Ya Rasulullah, help me." He's the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked for 5 goats. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Should I give you 5 goats or should I teach you 5 phrases, 5 sentences? These 5 sentences are better than 5 goats. And Ali radiallahu anhu was his son-in-law. He was also a relative of Rasulullah. He says, "Ya, of course, teach me those 5 words. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches him 5 phrases to praise the Almighty Allah azza wa jal. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. And Marana quite mashallah eloquently talked about how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through all these hardships and struggles. And this was his choice. This is something that he had chosen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him a choice. And he preferred this way of life. He could have been like Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam. Many of us have that dreams. Chote chote bache. Our kids, they come to masjid when they hear the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Everybody wants to be like him. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that model, yet he rejected it. He said, not for me. I prefer to be a faqir nabi. I prefer to be a abd nabi. A nabi who is a humble servant of Allah. And this made him special and this made him stand out. So if you are keen to be like Sulaiman alayhi salam or to have the authority like Sulaiman alayhi salam, then you've not really understood the seerah of your nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is maybe you go through hardship. Nobody wants to be poor. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kad al-faqru an yakuna kufran." The poverty is likely to lead to kufr and disbelief. People may reject Allah because they think our needs aren't being met. And somebody in this masjid in the vicinity, not in this masjid, in the vicinity of this masjid in this area, I heard about a youth who denounced Islam because his dreams were not coming true despite him making utmost effort. This brother that used to be very regular with the masjid. And some of you ulama know as well, and I hope that this was about 5-6 years ago. I hope that he's come back to Islam. Just because his dream, just because he thought his du'as were not being accepted, he wanted to have a certain career which he could not, which was not written for him. And he thought, what's the point of me praying when Allah Azza wa Jalla is not going to listen to my du'as? I'll rather leave Islam and become a Christian. So this is قَادَ الْفَقْرُ أَن يَكُونَ كُفْرًا. When you're unable to acquire what you pursue and what you long for, then it becomes difficult to continue to have faith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a model. The hadith that I read to you, and that thereafter I'll elaborate a little bit further. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us the value of life. Why are you here? What is required from you? Allah requires from you loyalty, that's all. Allah demands from you loyalty, that's all. Allah wants you to be obedient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to demonstrate that you are a humble servant of Allah and you're happy with Allah and you have no complaints against Allah and that you do not rebel against Allah. You be like a humble servant, not like a master that challenges the other person. So people who rebel against Allah, Allah Azza wa Jalla does not like them. So what is it that makes you? This is the purpose of life. This was the key message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever state Allah puts you in, do not moan, do not complain, do not rebel against Allah. Because whatever you're going through, it'll be paid back to you in full. The ayat that I read to you, it says, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, when people, وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا O Nabi of Allah, when those who believe in our verses, they come to you, فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ Peace unto you. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ Your Lord has decreed upon Himself that He will treat people with mercy. Mercy is His priority and it's mercy that He will always choose. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةِ Whoever made a mistake in error, in ignorance. مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ Thereafter he repents. Does not persist, does not insist on that mistake. وَأَصْلَحْ And tries to mend, makes the effort to mend the wrong that he's done in the past. ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَإِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ Surely Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. So if you've committed sins, if you've been abusing drugs, if you've been with girls, if you've been consuming riba and interest, if you've been singing and dancing, if you've been committing sins day in, day out, you still have chance to return to and acquire the rahmat of Allah Azza wa Jal and become the most holiest in this gathering, even better than your ulama in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal, by simply turning to Allah in a manner with full of remorse, and with this passion, with this firm intention that I'll try to undo the mistakes of the past. All that is required is that you do tawbah today, and you become the holiest. The Prophet ﷺ gave a glad tiding. At-ta'ibu min al-zambi kamal la zambala. The one who repents from a sin is like a sinless person, like the one who did not commit a sin. There are two people sitting side by side. One is that individual who never committed any sins, who never missed his prayers. And the other did miss his prayers, but he's full of remorse, full of guilt. And he says, Allah, forgive me. In the eyes of Allah, they're both the same. At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kamalla dhanbala, because he has repented. One was abusing drugs in the past, and the other wasn't. But the one who made the mistake, he did tawbah, and he tried to mend the mistake of the past. And now they sit side by side. In the eyes of Allah, they're the same. Sometimes people, after making mistakes, they beat those who have not made the mistakes. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Quran, and there's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that on the day of judgment, a person will be called by Allah Azza wa Jalla, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put his veil and satr and cover on him. And it'll be a private discourse, private conversation between him and Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will remind him, O servant of mine, remember you committed those sins? That sin? Say yes. And that one, yes. And that one, yes. A long list. And the person inside his heart will know for sure, I'm doomed and I'm dead. There's no hope for me. And then at the end, when the person will think, I'm definitely now going to Jahannam, Allah Azza wa Jalla will say to you, O my servant, during the life of dunya, I kept a cover on you. Nobody found out what you used to do. I kept a satar on you. And I kept that sin between me and you. Today, I put this cover on you, so nobody else is hearing, nobody else is listening. And I'm going to treat you with rahmah and with mercy. Go towards Jannah. And I've changed all your sins into hasanat and into virtues and into merits and into acts of piety. Because your sin did not affect me. Your sin did not take away anything from me. You wronged yourself. But out of my mercy, I'm going to change all your sins into your hasanat and your nekiyah. And the person in that excitement would say, my Lord, you missed out on a few sins. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gave us this hope. He gave us this hope that Allah Azza wa Jal just wants to see loyalty from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to have this optimism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see this hope in you. And just keep that hope alive. Allah Azza wa Jal will get nothing from punishing you. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. Doesn't matter what you do. If as long as you are grateful to Allah, as long as you have iman, Allah Azza wa Jal will get, Allah Azza wa Jal is ready to forgive. I'm not giving you a free license to go and do what you like. What I'm trying to say, that what has happened in the past has happened. Now, the way forward is today in this blessed majlis of Seerah conference, Muratiqur Rahman Sahib organized. I'd done Mashwarat Murana, but then I wasn't feeling well. So I was hoping that Murana Sahib would forget. And on Thursday after the Rushif majlis, I met Bhai Shahid and I said to him, Shukar hai yaar nahi ho rahi, mera gala bahut dard kar raha hai. And as soon as I arrive home, I receive a text from Murana Sahib, the poster. So anyway, may Allah reward Maulana Sahib. This is definitely a very useful and very blessed get-together. Today we all make tawbah. This is the lesson of the seerah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do tawbah. He came to warn us. Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nabiyu inna arsallaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira. We raised you as a bearer of good news and as a warner too. The first thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said in open when he climbed the Mount Safa, I hope most of you have heard that story. The very first time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam preached in open, what did he say? He said, people, I've come to warn you, abayna yaday azabin shadeed, before the severe punishment of Allah. Save yourselves. Save yourselves. And if you did not save yourself, then there's a major azab and punishment coming. People say, la ilaha illallah, you will attain success. Let us say La ilaha illallah. Together. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. You guys are really tired. Murana khana hai at the end? There is food coming at the end, inshallah. So you'll have to earn your food, inshallah. So make a bit of effort. Oh, no, earn is the wrong word. May Allah ta'ala forgive me. I think you need to make yourself do a bit of exercise so that, mashallah, to increase your appetite and to wake up your appetite. It's coming only about 20 minutes away. So say, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. with this intention that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ya ayyuhan nas qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu," you will attain success. So we're responding to this invitation of Rasulullah by saying, "La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So la ilaha illallah was the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today's subject is the second part, by the way, not the first one. Muhammadur Rasulullah. He was the messenger of Allah the Almighty. How do we know for sure that he was the messenger of Allah the Almighty? There were sahaba that saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once he said, "Whose iman, whose faith is most amazing?" The companions replied, "Of the malaika, ya Rasulullah, the angels." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Angels would not believe. They see Allah, they see the heavens, they see the earth, they see the ghaib, the unseen world. Why wouldn't they believe?" Then they said, "Okay, then the iman of the prophets." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Why would prophets not believe? They receive divine messages, they receive divine visits, they receive malaika coming to see them, the messages from the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Do they really have any, can they really deny ghaib when the ghaib is open to them?" I said, "Okay, in that case, our iman is amazing, as companions of you, O Messenger of Allah." The Prophet ﷺ said, why would you not believe? You sit in my company, you hear the Quran being revealed, you see all the miracles, and yet so you believe. You see all the evidence unravel before you, open before you. You see such great convincing proofs. So why wouldn't you believe? They said, "Ya Rasulullah, so we don't know whose iman is amazing." He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The iman of those people who will come after me. The iman of those people who will come after me. They never saw me. They never saw the Quran being revealed. They never saw any of my miracles. They did nothing. Yet one of them will have such passion and such love for me that he would be ready to part with everything that he has just to have one glance over me. Just see me once." This iman, the Prophet ﷺ said, is amazing. And then he said, "I wish I met my brothers." The sahaba said, "Aren't we your brothers, Ya Rasulullah?" He said, "No, you are my sahaba. Ikhwani alladhina lam ya'tu ba'd. My brothers are those who are yet not born. They'll come later, and they will have faith in me, and they'll have this bond with me, and they'll believe in me." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was aware of you. He knew that there'll be generations coming after me. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had concern and worry for the people that would come after him. And he had this love and this bond for the people that would come after him. And he would pray for the people that would come after him. So this Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal, sahaba, their iman was clear because they saw those miracles. But we didn't see those miracles. How can we keep our faith in this age of fitna? In this faith, in this age of constant challenges? Where at school we are convinced that we are taught that if an idea can't be scientifically verified, then it is likely to be untrue. It is likely not to be true. It's referred to as a myth, as something, a false belief, a misunderstanding. It's just a legend. It's just a folklore. It's something that people just transmit from generations, but it has no value. So how can we keep our iman fresh in this age of fitna? So I thought that I would talk about, and I have, alhamdulillah, still 15 minutes. I thought that I would talk about كيف عرفوا أنه نبي الله. How did they realize that he was a Nabi of Allah? How did they come to that conclusion? Sahaba, what made them convinced that he in fact was Nabi of Allah? كيف عرفوا أنه نبي الله? What made them convinced? And they became so convinced. They became so convinced that they were happy to, they were ready to sacrifice everything for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nothing was important to them. And I don't have time. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his devotion to Rasulullah is well known. Most of you are Urdu speakers, so you know the stories of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And this brother, mashallah, he's been coming to masjid for years. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is not unknown to you. He was the man about whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said that he was just like the Messenger of Allah. He'd said, if there was to be a Nabi after me, it would be Umar. He missed Abu Bakr because Abu Bakr was just like him. Abu Bakr had made such sacrifices that he never had any view different from the view of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You go through the seerah and you would see whatever Rasulullah says, Abu Bakr says the same. Whatever Rasulullah says, Abu Bakr says the same. Abu Bakr never has a doubt about what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing. At the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Umar radiallahu anhu is raging. He's upset on such humiliating terms. Why do we have to accept these terms? We're not going to accept this humiliation. Why is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreeing to all these demands of the mushrikun and the polytheists of Mecca? And he's in that rage. He goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he says, Ya Abu Bakr, why is it Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is insisting on these terms? Why is he readily accepting them? And what does Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu reply? Oh, there is this benefit, there is that benefit. No. Just one word. Huwa Rasulullah. Ya Umar, huwa Rasulullah. So if you are a believer, just learn this. Memorize this word. He is the messenger of Allah. Allah guides him. Allah sends wahi to him. Allah Azza wa Jal asks him. Allah Azza wa Jal teaches him. So whatever he's doing under the instruction and the guidance of Allah. Umar, remember, refresh your iman. Renew your commitment. Remind yourself, Huwa Rasulullah. Huwa Rasulullah. He is the messenger of Allah. So we need to lift our iman to that level where this Huwa Rasulullah becomes the convincing phrase for us against every challenge and against every fitna. Somebody comes to you and says, oh, why do Muslims believe this? And you say, because Huwa Rasulullah. Why do Muslims do this? Huwa Rasulullah. Our sisters, they rather than having this doubt that Islam has made them inferior to men. No, this was a law given to mankind by Huwa Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, riba is haram, interest is haram. Why? Because Allah commanded Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach us such. And why can't we do this? So many, everything that is fun is haram. No, this is not the case. Most of the things that you see as bringing fun to your life, they are destructive. They are things that will damage your personality, that will damage your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Try to find fun and enjoyment in things that are halal and that is permissible. Rasulullah did not say from himself. It was not his personal views. These were teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he came to makeup. Certain types of makeups were declared as bringing curse from Allah. Certain types of appearance were said as bringing la'nat of Allah Azza wa Jal. So those that think about this, if you want to adore yourself, if you want to decorate yourself, if you want to wear certain things, for men, he said, Allah has declared haram for the men of my ummah to wear silk and gold. And you wear silk jackets, mashallah. When it comes to wedding, on the day of your nikah and the day of wedding, people think the law of Islam does not apply to them for those 2-3 days. They do things that they would never do in their lives. And they forget their relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wearing silk is haram for men. Wearing jewelry, gold and other metal, any metals. Most of the metals are haram. Don't even take that path. If you have some rings, if you have something in your neck, And create that environment in your amidst. Teach your friends. Be the messengers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how did they recognize that he was a Nabi of Allah? There were people who had not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with their own eyes. Even when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there preaching. There was a man in Ethiopia, Najashi, the Negus, Ashama. He had not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his own eyes. He hadn't met him. He never saw any of his miracles. All he had was information, what was conveyed to him. The Hercules, or Heraclius, whichever way you'd like to pronounce, the Byzantine ruler, he had not met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had seen none of his miracles. After just one encounter with Abu Sufyan, and a delegate from Mecca, and a group of traders from Mecca, and the delegate and the envoy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Dihya al-Kalbi radiyallahu anhu, he became convinced that if what you guys are telling is the truth, then he will soon become the owner and the malik of this very earth where we're sitting today. And he became convinced because those guys had brains. And our brains have been taken away with this mobile phone. We don't have time to think. We're constantly busy. Even in the toilets, we have mobile phones with us. We wake up, the first thing is the phone. We go to sleep and we put the phone under our pillow. And this is in the middle of the night, we wake up and the first thing is we check our phone. We do not have time to think. Because we do not have time to think, we cannot process the information that is presented to us. But those people had time to think. Maulana Sahib, Maulana Raghib Sahib. When Maulana talked about, this is what I said earlier, that this is some of this I was going to touch upon later. He says, he raised the question, what takes you closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How can you enjoy his company on the day of judgment? What did Rasulullah teach? He said, ahsanul akhlaq, the good conduct, the righteous conduct. You become mercy for the worlds. You have good conduct and good ethics, ethical conduct. You are the ethical community. But the ethics from amongst Muslims, unfortunately, I'm not going to comment on this, you know better. You can self-evaluate how important are ethics to us. Or have we enslaved ourselves to the material things? Rasulullah taught us ethics. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us hope. Rasulullah said the poverty and the prosperity are things that are in the hands of Allah that He tests people with. Today you may be the richest person and tomorrow you can be the most poor one. Go and check what happened in Pakistan, Sindh and Balochistan and other places. Go and check what happened in Iran when there was an earthquake. Go and check what happened in South Korea yesterday. People were enjoying 1 minute and next minute they were gone 140. What happened in Indonesia just a few weeks back in the football stadium, 150 people were killed and crushed. One day they were excited, they were dancing and singing, and next minute they were history. There are people who become paralyzed for the rest of their lives. One day they were healthy and fine, next day they needed care. One day they were giving zakat, next day they became deserving for zakat. One day they were laughing at the poor, next day they themselves were the poor. And it's not necessarily a sign that Allah is angry with the people of Balochistan. It's not necessarily a sign that Allah is upset with the people of Pakistan. Yes, our conduct is bad. Yes, we need to repent. Yes, there is a lot that we need to do. But these tragedies and these calamities are not necessarily the signs of Allah's rage and the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. It may be the opening of a good chapter. It may be the opening of few more channels of mercy and rahmat from the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. But Allah shows, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Every day Allah is busy in something. He raises the darajat, He raises the level of some people, and He puts down the status of the other. The rich become poor, and the poor become rich, and the rich become poor. And this is what Allah does every day. And He puts you through in these situations. And how you respond, that is what is measured. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. One day you're doing well, you're passing all your exams, and you get a good job, and mashallah you drive a good car, and everybody is mashallah after you, they're looking up to you. And you see, I am, in the eyes of Allah, I'm doing well. Allah is very happy with me. And then at the time, you have hope. In fact, you become arrogant. And you think because Allah is on your side, you can do whatever you like. And next day, the other person, next day something else happens. And you put through difficulty, you put through a hardship. And you say, what wrong have I done? What wrong have I done? What sin have I committed? What is it that made me deserve this? And then some people, they dwell in it so much, I never did anything wrong. I don't deserve this. And then they start developing these mental issues, mental health issues. They go into depression. One mistake leads to the second to the third. And then this dominoes effect leads to suicide. We had janaza in Edinburgh just about a month ago of one only son of a doctor's arm. Quite humble brother. And with about three sisters. And the boy at the age of 19 committed suicide. And the father just could not control his emotions at the time of janaza. He came and he said, "Imam Saab, tomorrow was my son's birthday. Tomorrow was my son's birthday." I'd never seen such somber environment in the masjid as I witnessed on that day. There were sisters crying in the sisters' section, and the father was crying in the men's section. And it was just very difficult to cope with. Even we felt tears in our eyes. Suicide. Why? Because why is Allah doing this to me? And Rasulullah says, Allah Azza wa Jalla has the authority to do with you whatever He wants. Just be optimistic. For every challenge that you face in your life, Allah will give you a lot more on the day of judgment. The poor on the day of judgment will enter Jannah 5 centuries before the rich ones. And people who are tested with different afflictions on the day of judgment, when Allah Azza wa Jalla will pay them their reward, those who were prosperous, those who lived in comfort, would dream, if only قَرَضُوا جِلْدَهُ بِالْمَقَارِيزِ, if only their skin was cut with scissors, so they would earn the same reward as the one that's been given to those who experience hardship in worldly life. So Allah tests your loyalty. This is what Rasulullah taught us. A Muslim would never commit suicide. A Muslim would never lose hope with Allah Azza wa Jal. A Muslim is always convinced that Allah is merciful. And today, if I'm going through experiencing hardship, tomorrow will bring some comfort, and tomorrow will bring some ease, and tomorrow will bring some joy. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Do not try to cut corners. Take the right course. By speeding up your rescue, by just trying to cut corners, you may make such blunders that cause you to fall even further. This was the message that Rasulullah gave to mankind. So Ashama, the Negus, when he was when he wanted to know who is he, and he called Ja'far Tayyar, comes into his court, and Ja'far Tayyar says, "O King, we were the most despisable nation on earth. We were totally fools. We had no regard for human life. We had no respect for anyone. We were totally a lost community. And we were so superstitious that we would pick up stones and we'd start worshipping them." Do we have superstitious people in our midst? They go after ta'weez. They go after Allah ma'farmai, whatever stupid things. Superstitious, "Oh, this black cat, there's a black thread, I saw this thing." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never be affected by such experiences. Yes, in order to keep the hope alive, he would look at positive experiences. And anything negative happened to him, he would say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." He would say, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." He would say, "Amantu billah." I'm not scared of anything. So Ja'far says, "We were superstitious. We were fools." And then Allah raised amongst us a Nabi who spoke our language. He was part of us. And then he invited us and he taught us, do not worship anyone other than Allah. He taught us to establish salah. He taught us to be kind to your relatives. Be kind to your relatives, your brothers, your parents. There are boys who do not care, show any care for their siblings. They show no care for their parents just because they become independent. They start receiving student loan. They think, we no longer listen to our parents. The father says, "My dear son, pray salah. Come with me to the masjid." "I don't have time. No, I don't like going to that masjid. I hate that imam. No, I hate people in that. All those buddhas, those old men, they shout at us. You were in that community for the past 16, 17 years. Today, mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you health and some youth, and you've got some material prosperity. Now you hate those people that you grew up with. So this is what Rasulullah said, do not become such. He said, "Al-mu'minu ma'alafun, wa la khayra fi man la ya'alaf wa la yu'alaf." A mu'min is a man, is a person, is an individual that has love and compassion. And he finds solace and comfort with other people. There is no virtue, there's no khayr, no good in that individual who cannot have compassion for the others, nor are others compassionate towards him. Such youth, such individuals, arrogant, boastful, wearing, subhanAllah, chains, wearing latest trainers, full of debt and credit, and their history, their accounts are all in red, and they have borrowed money, they've got student loans, and they have miserable life, but they come to and walk in the street like there's none like them. Nobody has compassion for such individuals. Nobody has respect for them. Nor can they associate with anyone. They can't, they think everybody's inferior because they have some, Allah knows what state they're in. And may Allah forgive if they happen to earn some living, some money as well, then you can't even imagine what goes through their minds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, yasilu rahim, keep ties with your kinship, keep your feet on the ground, and stay connected with your relatives. If your uncle doesn't talk to you, it does not mean that you become his enemy. If your puppo, there's an issue between you and your puppo, then that does not mean that you become her enemy. If there's an issue between you and your khala, you should not turn your guns on her. And if there's an issue between you and your siblings, you do not have such rivalry that you're always looking for an opportunity to grab him from his throat. This is not a Muslim's behavior. Rasulullah taught us silatul rahim. He taught, and then Jafar said, he taught us chastity, to remain chaste, not fall into zina, not have such relationships with other women, and not expose yourself, not be naked to the others, not to look at the private parts of the others, and keep chaste and maintain your chastity and be a pure person. And he taught us to pray salah, and he taught us to be charitable. And Ishama, the king, sat there, and when he heard everything, he said, what do you say about Isa alayhi salatu wassalam? Because he was a Christian. And Ja'far Tayyar radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah taught us, huwa kalimatullahi wa ruhu. He was the word of Allah, and he was the ruh of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal had created him through the blow of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam. He had no father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him in a miraculous way. But he was a Abdullah, he was a creation of Allah. Ashama, having heard this, he said to the people, wallahi, by Allah, he said, in his phrase, I think I had recorded it, that he said that definitely, he said, he picked up a little piece of wood. He picked it up and he said, just tiny piece. And he says, by Allah, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is not, he is exactly as Ja'far has described. There's no difference between the description of Ja'far and the real Isa alayhi salam, even the amount of this little piece of wood that I picked up. Exactly, he's the same. And people rebelled. They said, the courtiers advised, they said, the king, Ashama, if you were Najashi, if you are to believe in what you just said, if you're going to be convinced because of these people, then your people, they'll be a revolt against you. And by chance, Ashama, radiallahu anhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put fortune and good luck for him. He said, I don't care what people do. Allah is more important to me than these people. Allah has put me on the throne, not the people. So and just to please them, I'm not going to against the one who's put me on the throne. Many of us, we try to fit in. Just to fit in, we do stupid things. Totally violation of our beliefs, because we're scared. I won't be able to fit in. In order to fit in, we go to pubs. In order to fit in, we go to clubs. In order to fit in, we dress contrary to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We spend money by bringing a lot more burden on us. We damage ourselves just to fit in. And Ashama taught us, even though you've not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but dwell and ponder over his teachings. They do nothing to you but add value to your life. They make you a noble human being. They make you a respectable individual. And when he taught you that Allah is the controller of the universe, nobody will be able to do anything to you. Allah has put you in this state of prosperity. And Allah Azza wa Jal, only He can take these ni'mets away from you. So do not be scared of people. Fear Allah. Be loyal to Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal will help you, and Allah Azza wa Jal will take care of you. The time is up. I was going to talk about the Byzantine ruler as well. And I was going to talk to you about the evidence in the Quran. The people, how do people, modern day scholars become convinced? You hear academics trying to study Quran in order to for their research purpose, and they come into Islam. Just last year, this far right politician who was up in arms against Islam, He started studying Islam, he started reading about Quran and seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to find flaws, and he became so convinced that he pronounced shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. People are, they still find evidence. And there's plenty in the Quran. That you look at the, subhanAllah, so many, in one ayah, Surah An-Nur. There's so much in it. Allah Azza wa Jal, jo kuch kaha suna, whatever I was able to say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant barakah in whatever was said. Just finally, remember Rasulullah was Mubashir and Nadir. He was Bashir and Nadir, bearer of good news and a warner. It's up to you how you want him to be to yourself. If you be loyal, he'll be Bashir to you. And if you rebel, then he is a warner to you. And remember, it does not matter what state you're in, whether you're happy or you're sad. They say, it's only, you live only once, so do what you like. No. You live only once, sacrifice this golden opportunity on your Creator. Just give it up. The happiness of dunya, sacrifice it for the sake of your hereafter. So this is what Rasulullah taught us. If you are doing well, be grateful to Allah. Because if you didn't, then you'd suffer on the day of judgment. The rich will go to Jahannam. They'll be rich that'll be going to Jahannam on the day of judgment. So if you are a rich person, if you can make the ends meet conveniently, then be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you are the other one who's struggling in life, if you're struggling in life, you're struggling to make the ends meet, you are loaded with debts and the crisis and the health issues and the family crisis, then be patient. Be patient and say to Allah Azza wa Jal, our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Manisul Mutala Sabnawar Allahu Marqadahu, he used to teach us. Learn this phrase. Hazrat used to say, Raat ko sote mein aankh khul jaye, to itna repeat karo is phrase ko, ki aankh khule to sab se pehle zuban pe ye ho. Sote waqt zuban pe ye ho. Chalte phirte zuban pe ye ho. He used to say that repeat this phrase so much that your tongue becomes moist to it. So if you wake up in the middle of the night, the first thing you say is this phrase. In the morning, train yourself. The first thing you say is this phrase. When you go to bed, say this phrase is on your tongue. What is that phrase? رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. That's all. I'm happy that Allah is my Lord and I'm a mu'min. My life, I live only once. My life is for my Lord. This dunya, my morning is for my Allah. My afternoon is for my Allah. When I was not married, that life of being single was for Allah. Now I'm married, this life is for Allah. Allah comes first. Allah Azza wa Jal, He comes first before everything. I'm so happy that Allah is my Lord. I'm so grateful to Allah that Islam is my deen. And I'm overjoyed with the fact that I'm an ummati of Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us say together, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا. You know what he means? That I'm happy that Allah is my Rabb, Allah is my Lord. So say it again. I've told you the meaning. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا. Try to say it from the depth of your heart. Even if I don't hear it, you're saying it to Allah. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. It means that I'm happy that Islam is my religion and I'm a Muslim. وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. It means that I'm happy that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my Nabi and I'm his ummati. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who says this in the dunya, on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla will make him happy too. So you'll be happy in this life. You'll be happy in your qabr. You'll be happy on the day of judgment. You will receive the VIP treatment. You'll be happy on the bridge of Salat. You'll be happy all the way to Jannah. Stop mourning. Stop complaining. Be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal and have hope with Allah Azza wa Jal, whatever state you're in, and you'll be a happier person. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa salat wa salam ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. La ilaha illallah al Halim al Kareem. Subhanallah, Rabbil Arshil Azeem. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار ربنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا ضرا إلا كشفته ولا كربا إلا نفسته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ضالا إلا هديته ولا دينا إلا أديته ولا مجاهدا في سبيلك إلا ونصرته ولا مجاهدا في سبيلك إلا ونصرته ولا أسيرا إلا فككته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر دينك وكتابك وسنة نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم يا رب العالمين اللهم قاتل الكفرة الذين يجحدون آياتك ويكذبون رسلك ويصدون عن سبيلك ويقاتلون أولياءك اللهم شتت شملهم اللهم مزق جمعهم اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين واجعلهما وسائر بلاد الإسلام آمنة ومطمئنة يا رب العالمين اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى من أيدي الغاصبين اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى من أيدي الغاصبين وارزقنا فيها صلاة قبل الممات يا أرحم الراحمين يا الله تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہماری یہ ٹوٹی پھوٹی کوشش قبول فرما یا اللہ تو اپنے اس کو اپنی رضا کا سبب اور ذریعہ بنا یا اللہ تو اس کو اپنی رضا کا سبب اور ذریعہ بنا اے اللہ جو لوگ اس مجلس میں شریک ہوئے جو گھروں میں بیٹھے سن رہے ہیں تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے ان تمام شرکا کی مغفرت فرما اے اللہ ان تمام حاضرین کی مغفرت فرما اے اللہ ہم نے وہ کلمے کہے جو تیرے نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ہمیں سکھائے اے اللہ ہم تجھ سے راضی ہیں تو بھی اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا اللہ تو بھی اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا اللہ تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا اللہ ہم اپنے ایمان کو تیرے پاس امانت رکھواتے ہیں اے اللہ کچھ پتہ نہیں کہ کب تک یہ ایمان باقی رہے اور آج کا یہ رونا دھونا کل کو پتہ نہیں کس رستے پہ پہنچ جائیں اے اللہ جیسے دعاؤں میں ہے کہ اے ہمارے مہربان رب ہم تجھے گواہ بنا کے کہتے ہیں لا الہ الا اللہ محمد الرسول اللہ اے اللہ تو ہمارے ایمان کی حفاظت فرما اے اللہ ہمارے بچوں کے ایمان کی حفاظت فرما اے اللہ ہماری نسلوں کے ایمان کی حفاظت فرما اے اللہ دجال کے فتنے سے ہماری نسلوں کی حفاظت فرما اے اللہ ان سے پہلے فتنوں سے ہماری نسلوں کی حفاظت فرما اے اللہ ایسی محتاجی سے بچا جو کفر تک پہنچا دے ایسے فقر سے بچا جو کفر تک پہنچا دے یا اللہ ہمارے ساتھ عافیت کا معاملہ فرما اے اللہ رحمت کا معاملہ فرما اپنا فضل و کرم فرما اے اللہ ہمارے بزرگوں کو جزائے خیر عطا فرما اے اللہ تو ہمیں ان کا اچھا وارث بنا اے اللہ تو ان کے کام کو آگے بڑھانے کی توفیق دے اے اللہ قیامت کے روز ان کے سامنے سرخرو فرما اے اللہ اس روز کی شرمندگی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما اے اللہ عالم اسلام پر رحم فرما اس محلے کے مسلمانوں پہ رحم فرما اس مسجد کے نمازیوں پہ رحم فرما اے اللہ اس مسجد کی انتظامیہ پہ رحم فرما اے اللہ یہاں کے علماء اور مدرسین پر رحم فرما اے اللہ یہاں کے طلبہ پر اور یہاں کے حاضرین پہ رحم فرما اے اللہ اس مسجد کے ہمدردوں پر رحم فرما اے اللہ سب کی مغفرت فرما سب کو حضرت نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی محبت اور ان کے ساتھ سچا تعلق نصیب فرما اے اللہ ہماری حاجتوں ضرورتوں کو پورا فرما ہمارے بیماروں کو شفا عطا فرما ہمارے مقروضوں کو قرض سے نجات دے اے اللہ ہمارے مقروضوں کو قرض سے نجات عطا فرما اے اللہ ہمارے مقروضوں کو قرض سے نجات عطا فرما
اے اللہ جو بے روزگار ہیں ان کو اچھا حلال روزگار نصیب فرما، اے اللہ جن کے نکاح نہیں ہوئے ان کے نکاح کے اسباب پیدا فرما، جن کے گھروں میں بے چینی ہے اے اللہ پریشانی ہے ان کو گھروں میں سکون عطا فرما، اے اللہ مردوں کو اپنی بیویوں کا محافظ بنا، اے اللہ مردوں کو اپنی بیویوں کا معاون بنا، اے اللہ مردوں کو اپنی بیویوں کے لیے بچوں کے لیے رحمت بننے کی توفیق عطا فرما، اور اے اللہ بیویوں کو وہ صفات عطا فرما جو جنتی عورتوں کی صفات ہیں، جو اپنے شوہروں کی ہمدرد اور ان کی بات ماننے والی ہیں، ان کی اطاعت کرنے والی ہیں، بچوں پر مہربان اور شفیق ہیں، جو محنت کرنے والی ہیں اور جو شکوے نہیں کرتی اور جو اپنے شوہر کو خوش رکھنے کی کوشش کرتی ہیں، اے اللہ وہ جنتی صفات ہماری عورتوں کو نصیب فرما، اے اللہ ہمارے بچوں کو ماں باپ کی قدر کی توفیق دے، ماں باپ کو بچوں کے لیے سائے رحمت بنا، اے اللہ ماں باپ کو بچوں کے لیے سائے رحمت بنا، اے اللہ ہم اپنے بچوں کی عافیت کے لیے تجھ سے سوال کرتے ہیں، اے اللہ تو ہمارے بچوں پر رحم فرما، اے اللہ تو نہیں فرمایا کہ ماں باپ کی دعائیں سب سے زیادہ بچوں کے لیے قبول ہوتی ہیں، اے اللہ ہم اپنی نسلوں کے لیے، اپنے بچوں کے لیے، اپنے خاندانوں کے لیے تجھ سے رحمت اور مہربانی کی بھیک مانگتے ہیں، اے اللہ ان کی غلطیاں معاف کر دے، اے اللہ ان کی غلطیاں معاف فرما دے، ان کی نیکیاں قبول فرما، ان کی زندگی آسان فرما، ہر امتحان ہر تکلیف سے ان بچوں کو بچا، اے اللہ ہر امتحان ہر تکلیف سے ان بچوں کو بچا، اے اللہ ان کو نیکی کا ماحول نصیب فرما، ان کو اچھے اساتذہ نصیب فرما، اللہ جس طرح تو نے ہمیں اچھے اساتذہ دیے تھے، یا اللہ یہ بچے محروم ہیں ان اساتذہ سے، اے ارحم الراحمین ان بزرگوں کا فیض ان بچوں تک منتقل فرما، ان بزرگوں کا فیض ان بچوں تک منتقل فرما، اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کی وجہ سے ان بچوں کو محروم نہ فرما، اے اللہ ان بچوں پر اپنا فضل اور اپنا کرم فرما، اے اللہ ہماری خطائیں اور ہماری غلطیاں معاف فرما، اے اللہ تو ہماری حفاظت فرما، اے اللہ تو ہمیں پیشانی کے بالوں سے پکڑ کے صراط مستقیم پر چلا، اے اللہ خواہشات اور نفسانی خواہشوں کے شکنجے سے ہمیں نجات عطا فرما، ان بزرگوں کے واسطے سے ہم تجھ سے دعا کرتے ہیں جن کو تو نے قبول فرمایا، ہمیں ان کے نقش قدم پہ چلنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ان نسینا واخطأنا، ربنا ولا تحمل علينا اسرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا، ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا انت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين، اللہ ہمارے آقا و مولا جن کی یاد میں، جن کے ذکر و تذکرے کے لیے مجلس ہم نے قائم کی، حضرت نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم پر ہماری طرف سے لاکھوں کروڑوں اربوں کھربوں اور کبھی نہ ختم ہونے والے درود و سلام نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم پر نازل فرما، ان کو ہماری طرف سے بہترین، ان کو جزائے خیر عطا فرما، اے اللہ ان کے رحم، ان کے فیوض اور ان کی برکات سے ہم سب کو مستفیض فرما، اے اللہ ان کی جہاد ہمیں نصیب فرما، اور ہمیں ہر آن ان کی طرف متوجہ رہنے اور ٹک ٹکی لگا کر انہی کی طرف سوچ، انہی کو یاد کرنے کی توفیق دے، اے اللہ ان کے ساتھ ہمارا رشتہ مستحکم اور مضبوط کر دے، ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم، اللهم انا نسالك خير ما سالك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك من نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، انت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله العلي العظيم، ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم، وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين، امين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.